This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Wiffler and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello.
Okay, so today we are talking about the vulnerable mom. And I think Emily and I come into the show with a decent amount of trepidation and also just wanting to be careful and gentle and just treat this as carefully as we can, because we know that both of us have a lot of support, even in our most weak moments. We have a lot of family and friends and church around us. We have financial resources, flexibility in our schedules. We have educational opportunities and husbands that are really, really supportive. And so Emily and I both know that it's very easy to take those things for granted and forget what a privilege those things are and how God has provided for us. And I think something that we've just noticed that as Risen Motherhood has grown and we've had more and more moms interacting with our content, and we've just seen a lot of different sides to motherhood. And God's been really gracious to just make our hearts tender towards moms that have different lives than us, who have different upbringings, that are struggling and in vulnerable places. And so we want to talk about this year with the unity in the gospel theme, because we know that God cares for the outcast, for the oppressed, for the struggling. And He also desires for His people to love and see those people too, and to give them dignity, to give them grace, compassion, and help. And so we want to take time on today's show to talk through kind of who the vulnerable mom is, like who we might be talking about, how us as listeners, especially if you're in a position that's similar to what Emily and I are in, how we can just live out God's call and His charge and to meet those women where they're at, or what can we do? That's kind of the question Em and I have been asking.
Yeah. So I feel like something like this, like Laura was saying, we need to start by kind of defining it, because people have different ideas of what vulnerable mom means. And they may all be right definitions, but for this show, we're kind of defining this as a mom who is in need of maybe special care or support or protection because of maybe age or different disabilities or risk of abuse or neglect or things in her past. So we're going to kind of talk through what this may look like, although there are other definitions of this. But we're particularly thinking about the mom who is single with kids, the mom who's living paycheck to paycheck, whether she's married or unmarried, maybe a mom who's living in a dangerous situation with a boyfriend or a husband or family member, maybe a mom who just doesn't have the education or the resources or the opportunities to care for her kids in the way that she really wants to. Maybe this is a mom who has struggled through a past history of abuse or mental illness or other life trauma that makes motherhood and work extra difficult. This could be a mom who is a widow, or a mom who is, you know, a minority, or has, you know, immigrated from another country, or is a refugee. So there are all kinds of women who fit into this category.
Yeah, we want to be upfront. I know I started to preface this show a little bit, but we're not experts in this. So there are people out there that specialize in understanding things like mental health or poverty or social work or shelters, all sorts of things. So we're not able to give that perspective today. We're just two moms who want to be able to talk with you at the same table with you, you know, to peer to peer speak with you. And so our hope is to speak to those of you who are hopefully plugged in to a local church, you're financially stable, but oftentimes like us, you're kind of busy with your life and you're kind of overwhelmed with what's going on right in front of you. So it's hard to know how to help these women or keep them at the forefront. But we want to ask the question, like, what if we did? You know, what would happen if we use the gospel to bridge the gap with women like this?
Yeah. And I think, again, trying to hone in on what it is we're going to be talking about in this show versus what we're not talking about is there are a lot of ways to deal with this problem on a political front in your communities. And there's questions like, well, should our family get involved in foster care or different types of organizations that help women in these situations? And how should I give financially or of my time? And we hope that you get ideas about practical things you can do. But primarily, we're going to be starting at how does the gospel change us at a heart level so that we can shift our eyes off of ourselves and remember and see these moms and care about them, even in the midst of our own busyness. And I think another thing we wanted to say is, like, again, we want to really tread lightly here. We know that sometimes when people have a heart to help someone who is vulnerable, it can sound very superior and very privileged and very, oh, we have the tools. We can help you. We can save you. We have it all together. This is a touchy conversation to navigate. We will not do it perfectly. Yeah. We'll probably say something offensive and not even know it. But we hope that, you know, you guys can engage this with us because we want to try.
Yeah.
I think too many of us, and in my past, I'll say I've avoided this conversation because I'm afraid to say something wrong.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So anyways, we're going to try to set some of those, you know, self-conscious feelings aside and just say, we want to see this issue. We want to care. And our heart today, even if we say something that we haven't, you know, learned how to say it correctly yet, our heart is to love these women and not to, you know, heap shame on them.
And we're thankful that we can talk to a community that does love us. We have had so many emails from listeners who have written in, who have either lovingly corrected us, who have supported us whenever we've done things like this, where we've kind of stepped out of our comfort zone, and you guys have cheered us on. I'm not asking for that today, but I'm just saying, like, I think this community is much of why Emily and I want to have this conversation, because we feel like you guys have created a safe space, but also because you've taught us so much yourselves through your stories, through your emails and messages and just different things. So we just want to say thank you. But to dive in, we're gonna start with the gospel because that's what we typically do, and give that high level overview. And then we're just going to talk about some things that Em and I are learning. And so when we look at creation, we can just start there and know that, you know, Eden was pretty wonderful. And Adam and Eve had all their needs met by God. And there wasn't pain or sorrow or tears or anything that wasn't wonderful. And after the fall, after Adam and Eve ate the fruit, the world changed quite a bit. And there became people who were vulnerable. There became people who were struggling because of whether creation was cursed and things just don't go as they should. And also because of the deeds of man and just the evil sin in this world. And so now we grapple in that tension, but we have hope in Christ in the midst of all of that.
Yeah. And I think we see God's heart for the vulnerable because God has a heart for sinners and a heart for people who are in desperate need that can do nothing for themselves on their own. But especially this kind of outcast people group. In the Old Testament, we see God protecting them and caring for them, especially women. And even in Jesus's lineage, we see a good handful of women that come from a lifestyle or a background that most of us would say, that's a vulnerable mom. So this is a complicated topic. Like, Laura and I were going into examples of, like, oh, what are some good ways we could share this in the Old Testament? What are some good stories? And everything we come up with, we realized, you know, this really takes a lot of sober study and deep thought. And the people who have done this well have really dug in deep here. So if this is something you're wanting to know more about, we're going to put some links in our show notes from women who have really dug into this topic and have done a good job of showing how God really cares for the vulnerable woman throughout, you know, redemptive history.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, we get it. The Old Testament confuses us too, you know? And the fact that, like, some of the things that happened to women in the Old Testament do seem confusing at face value. But when you look at the Bible in context and when you study these things, as Emily said, study in a sober mindset, in a way that says, I want to learn. I don't want to bring in my own assumptions or my own biases or just assume that I know what's right. Like, I want to come and know the heart of God. We promise that God will reveal to you his loving kindness and his mercy in some of those stories that you know, I personally have often really, really struggled with and tried to figure out, how does God value women? Show me that when I read this story, but it's true and it's there. And so, yes, we're going to point you to some really good resources for that, because we don't have the time or probably really the know-how even to do that for you here.
Yeah, definitely. But I think we can be united in our vulnerability, because all of us, no matter what your vulnerability looks like on the outside, we all are dependent in our need for a rescuer and for a savior and for someone to protect us and to restore us to our ultimate protector in God. And God does that through Jesus. And Jesus actually comes and makes himself vulnerable and allows himself to be exposed and disrespected and shamed and despised and rejected. And ultimately, he dies for that, so that no matter what kind of lot we have in this life, we can be healed someday and we can be fully restored to God in eternity. And one thing, this is a little bit of a different angle, but even looking at Jesus's care for the despised and the rejected and the vulnerable and his time on earth is just amazing.
Yeah, I just always want to remember that, like, it's nothing that I did to get myself in this position. Like, it is purely God's grace. And so that me and another woman who is in a more vulnerable position, we're not so different after all. Like, first of all, at the cross, it's just a level playing field. You know, we're both sinners. We're both in need of grace. We both need Christ to come and redeem us. And any good that I do is not because of my financial status or because I've had a college education, but it is purely because of the grace of God and his work in me. And so out of an overflow of my gratefulness and out of my thankfulness for what Christ has done for me, I want to do everything I can to bless the other women in my life and image what Emily was talking about, imaging Christ as he loved the vulnerable, and just recognizing that, you know, until the day I die, like, I want to wave my banner for the cross. I'm going to cry. But I just like, and every day I live here, like, my goal is to reach people with the gospel. And how can I do that? You know, and this podcast is one way, but I think, like, one way Emily and I have been really impacted by is, like, there are women in our midst who are hurting and who need face-to-face time and who need like us to come alongside them. And so, thankfully, to move into consummation, we'll finish my thoughts there, my tearful thoughts in a bit. But in consummation, we can just be so thankful that we can know today we're co-heirs with Christ, which means everything that he received in his adoption from God is ours. And it is that for that vulnerable mom, again, same playing field. And we won't be alone. No one will be alone someday. No one will be in a dangerous situation. No one will be hurting or fearful or living paycheck to paycheck. It will be an abundant life.
And God is going to be a just judge who is going to take care of all of the injustices that are happening. And it's hard for us to understand or see that, but we have a heavenly Father who takes a long view, and people are not getting away with the things that they are doing. It's either going to be paid for by Christ, or they are going to receive the full punishment and the full wrath of that. So he is a just God. And I think one thing that I love considering in consummation, like what you were saying, Laura, is when we look at the picture of what is to come and what it will be like, that we will be standing side by side with a lot of these moms who place their faith in Christ, that on earth, maybe we felt like there were a lot of these differences. Like, we're going to be worshiping Christ together with them and have the same status and the same sisterhood. And so I think let's live that out now in that relationship, just like Jesus did. If we read through the Gospels, we see him over and over and over again having these, like, countercultural, controversial interactions with vulnerable women.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
So, you know, he went ahead and, like, paved that path. And so anyways, it's definitely something we as followers of Christ need to follow in that example.
Even when it feels uncomfortable to us or it feels not easy. And so we're going to walk through a couple principles here. The first one is just to recognize that we're not better than the vulnerable mom. I think I started jumping into this a little bit already. That idea that for some reason I can save someone else. You know, I think we can all get this savior mentality that we've got these resources and we're just going to throw them at and solve all their problems. But again, really, we have to recognize that we're just as sinful as that other mom, and any good that we have should just be given from a humble heart and a very, very just with a lot of humility of recognizing that, hey, that may not be the best way to solve this issue. And so I want to take a step back and just recognize, first of all, that like I am like that mom, although I may not know the best way to help her. Mm-hmm. Starting there.
Another thing is just to see them and be aware. I think life moves so fast, and sometimes we need to go the extra mile to get in relationship with people that we don't know, or have that conversation with someone you've never met before, and really invest in them and take the time to see what it is that they're struggling through. Because sometimes too, it may be harder for us to just come in contact with these moms because of life circumstances. Like maybe they're going to have a harder time making it to church on Sunday or attending that women's event or coming to that Bible study. And when they come, maybe they're going to feel like they don't really fit in, or they can't really share with you what's going on, or they're kind of on the outskirts of the event and they're self-conscious. And we want to get to know people and invest in relationship enough that we can find those things out and then meet them in their struggle and welcome them as Christ has welcomed us.
And as we're getting to know them, just treating them how you would want to be treated. It's important, I guess, just to listen to their story and to not come in with your own deals with maybe how that must have happened or how maybe they did something to contribute to that, but just trust, you know, just believe their story and take it at face value. Make sure to listen, being present, you know, not mentally drifting off and thinking about other things, but to really engage and talk with that mom and ask yourself, gosh, what would have that been like if that happened to me? You know, what if I didn't have a support network anymore? What if I couldn't trust the people around me? What if my job was physically exhausting and I just came home every day from being away from my kids all day and not being able to give them what I would like to give them? Or what if you had a baby, you know, before you were able to have your life be stable? Or what if you were a single mom? I mean, there's just, we know some of you listening may even be in this mm-hmm. position, you know? And so I think for those of us that aren't currently there, asking ourselves those questions. Of course, we can't know what it's like, but I think it's good to go through that thought process because it develops sympathy for the other mom mm-hmm. and it helps you to say like, wow, I really would want someone to reach out and care for me and to help me. And it just, it kind of gives you perspective.
Yeah. And on the more tangible side of things, first off, just to start with prayer. Prayer that God would help us see and invest in relationships with all kinds of moms that we come in contact with. And then also just praying for God to help us see how to offer tangible support, you know, just giving us eyes to see opportunities. And as we pray for people by name, I think that also helps just reshape our focus and helps us see things we might not have seen before. So I don't want to speak for Laura, but I'll speak for myself. Yeah. This feels like a weak area for me and something that I am just starting to grow in, understanding what this looks like.
Yeah, Emily, I totally agree that this is a real area of necessary growth for me. And it's kind of been this slow awakening. I admit that, but I'm thankful that God is waking me up to this. And I think initially, like my first reaction is often like, I'll just give money or I'll give resources. Mm-hmm. I have so many things going on in my life. I don't have time to go invest in that. So I'm going to give money. And while that's valuable and helpful in some ways, I think what we've been challenged by lately is just how can we be in the flesh helping? How can we take our time and our relationships and just like be involved deeper, be involved in a way that feels uncomfortable at times? It feels stretching. It feels like maybe not exactly where we want to be in that moment, but it's valuable and important. And so is there a mom of a child at school that you can intentionally love and invest in? Or, you know, is there a neighbor down the street that you've overlooked for a long time, but you can invite them into your home or invite them for a meal or just start the process of getting to know them, as awkward as it may feel? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely the challenge of where I'm at too, is like, well, what does it look like to, you know, throw some more stake in the game mm-hmm. relationally? And that is often the harder thing.
Yeah.
For some of us that are in a more privileged position. So anyways, we definitely don't have the answers and we don't know what this is going to look like for each and every one of you. And some of you guys are probably already, you know, down this path and you are,
we have a ton of friends who are doing this really well.
Yeah.
Like, and some of you may be doing this
Right.
Well.
And yes. And some of us are just doing like the baby steps at the beginning of like prayer and thinking of one mom. But whatever it is, we hope that these start just good conversations for you guys and good things to think on and see in scripture to do further study on. So, yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you guys just getting involved in this conversation with us. Of course, we'll likely be talking about this a little bit more on social media as we can. And so we hope that you guys will join us there. And again, we're just grateful for all of you guys for giving us a chance to be able to talk about this and to air our conversation. And we just hope that you have something that you can take away and apply today.